Hey, welcome to the show. It's Stephanie Staples, and we're always trying to bring you some ideas, insight, and inspiration for living your life unlimited. So thanks for joining us today. A little later in the hour, we're going to be talking with Stefan Arnio. He is the author of Money People Deal, smart and savvy businessman with lots of great ideas to offer you. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to send a big shout out to Tiber River, tiberriver.ca, always keeping you looking and smelling good. All natural products. Check them out, tiberriver.ca. So tell me, what does an inexplicable suicide, a child pornography conviction, and the confession of a secret that was buried for 10 years have in common? Well, all three were revealed to me this week within a three-hour time span. And though none of the issues directly affected me, they seriously affected me. Has that ever happened to you when an influx of horrendous news makes its way to you and makes your heart heavy and your soul sad? I went kind of back and forth between being noisy and busy and trying to block out the information that was dropped onto my lap and being still and quiet and trying to absorb it. Eventually, it caused me to reflect, and reflection is usually, if not always, good. I reflected on my own selfishness about things I had deemed important. I reflected on my own pettiness, on problems that seemed crucial at the time. I reflected on my own self-absorbed issues that really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, and ultimately I reflected on my gratitude of things and people that I've been taking for granted. Throughout this reflective process, one word really resonated with me, and the word that keeps coming back over and over again is resilience. Resilient. Resiliency. As I tried to imagine what the families in these respective situations must be going through, I remembered something that had fascinated me for a long time, and that is what makes some people overcome adversity and some people succumb to it. I've asked that question many times over the years, and there are people from every risk group that have overcome adversity, so we must be able to figure this out. This triple blow kind of bad news shocked the answer into me, at least the answer for me, and I think that answer is resiliency. Are you resilient? Am I? How do we know? And how do we build upon the base of resilience that we already have? And what the heck does it all mean anyway? Well, I started with the old Wikipedia. And they define psychological resilience as an individual's ability to properly adapt to stress and adversity. Sounds like it's a characteristic we should all aspire to have. Luckily, there is science behind developing resilience, and the infamous they, in air quotes, say there are three things that influence us. Things within us, things within our immediate family, and things within our immediate environment. And as if we needed any more reasons to lessen our stress, here's a big one that I didn't know about. When we're stressed, it actually causes epigenetic changes in our DNA, so the offspring of people who are stressed are less resilient, and this can go on for a couple of generations. Yikes! All this proves, once again, that if we don't want to take responsibility for anything, we can just blame our parents. But you know, in Your Life Unlimited land, we know that's not an empowering choice, and we also know that, luckily enough, experience triumphs genetics. So here's some concrete things we can actively do to harness the power of resilience, because we know it's not a matter of if the crappy things happen to you. Sorry to tell you, it's just a matter of when. So let's be prepared, shall we? Studies show that maintaining positive emotions whilst facing adversity promotes flexibility in thinking and problem solving, and a number of other factors that promote resilience have been identified. The ability to cope with stress effectively and in a healthy manner. Having good problem solving skills. Seeking help. Holding the belief that there is something one can do to manage your feelings and cope. Having social support. Being connected with others, such as family or friends. Self-disclosure of the trauma to loved ones. Spirituality. Having an identity as a survivor as opposed to a victim. Helping others. Finding positive meaning in the trauma. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to share what the American Psychological Association suggests as 10 ways to build your resilience. Meanwhile, know that these are teachable and learnable qualities, and there is a unitary set of qualities that insulate and protect us. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Stefan Arnio. He's the author of Money, People, Deal, and I think he's got a thing or two to say about resilience. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to the show. Big thank you to vivacityfitness.ca, 561 St. Anne's. You know, it's just like coaching for life, like coaching for health and fitness. Get somebody on your side. Get somebody on your team. It's hard to go it alone. At least somebody to get you started helps a lot. And Cassie over at Vivacity helps me a lot. So big thanks to her. I'm pretty excited to be in the studio with Stefan Arnio. He's the author of Money People Deal, amongst other things. He's got a lot going on, this guy. But I'm going to ask you first off, Stefan, to weigh in on the factor of resiliency, what you think. I know we were supposed to do this show a couple of weeks ago. A little surprise happened early in the morning, and it didn't quite pan out the way we thought. And I think resiliency kind of comes into that.
Absolutely. I was supposed to be here a couple weeks ago, but instead I was in the Grace Hospital, you know, burning out.
Yeah, that's a good excuse, I've got to say.
Yeah, well, you can't argue with it when you're in a hospital bed on an IV drip. You can't really just get up and come on the radio.
Nope. So what happened to lead up to that? Because it didn't just poof, it didn't just happen, and I have a feeling that resiliency is a factor in that.
Well, I'm an entrepreneur. That's what I do. Entrepreneurs are crazy people, and we do things that the average person would never, ever put themselves into. You know, my mother calls me all the time and says, you got to slow down, you got to do less stuff. And I say, well, you know, I signed up for this and I have to finish it. And, you know, what happened to me was, you know, I was flying on too many planes and, you know, we're working too many hours and we have too many projects and my people in my organization were overstretched and I was overstretched. And sometimes you push it to the limit and you can, you know, have a burnout and, you know, sometimes you do go down. But it's like skiing, you know, when you go skiing, you will fall down eventually. And entrepreneurship, or, you know, high-level athletes, high-level musicians, anybody operating at a high level is likely to have some burnout at some point. It's just a reality because we're always pushing the limits and you always have that. You don't know where the limit is until you actually go over the edge, right?
Well, I think people, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, even people in real life, depending on where a resiliency factor lies, are we prepared for what's going to happen? Like I said, it's not a matter of if something happens, it's a matter of when, and whether you're taking care of aging parents or whatever else you're doing, it compounds eventually. And this isn't your first time with burnout, so have you learned something, or what are you going to do different?
Well, you know, the thing about the difference between an average person and, let's say, an entrepreneur is entrepreneurs use a lot of leverage, right? So the average person usually has average person problems, and the problems they can solve on their own. They're not usually that big of problems. You know, when you start leveraging your life and you have an organization of people and you have, you know, leveraged money and you have leveraged projects and everything is really, really big. I mean, if you think of leverage, if you think of a lever moving a boulder, you know, you can push the stick, you can push the lever, and the boulder will move. You know, that boulder is probably too big for you to push on your own. So when you're an entrepreneur, sometimes you're pushing this rock that's too big for you, but you have the lever so you can move it. And the problem is sometimes that boulder will roll back on you. And, you know, the average person isn't pushing that big of a boulder. Maybe they're pushing a rock that they can actually push with their own hands. And, you know, entrepreneurs, we get ourselves in that situation where maybe we're handling too much for us. Like the problems I have take, you know, 5 to 10 people to solve. You know, I can't just wake up and just start, you know, pushing the rock because the rock is actually so big it'll crush me. So, you know, there's always that next level, and you always have to find out where the limit is and how do you solve that next problem. And, you know, the problems are never the same. There's always a new problem. And a lot of the times, because it's a new problem, we don't repeat the same thing. It's always you're always starting out when you're an entrepreneur. You're always starting out at a new level. You can master one level, you go to the next level, and now it has nothing to do with what you did before, right? So you're always starting out, and the boulder keeps getting bigger and bigger, and you need a bigger stick to move it and just make sure that the boulder doesn't crush you.
I think that creativity comes into play there, right? We just have to keep being more creative than we were last time, and having that wherewithal that we know, look, we've solved the last problem, we can solve this problem, and what else can we do differently? How can we think differently? How can we ask for other people's opinion or help or service and such? Okay, tell us a little bit about your background and how you kind of got to be where you are, and just catch people up to speed if they're not following you.
Well, I've been a serial entrepreneur my whole life. I've never really been employed for more than 10 months as an employee. you know, I started out, I guess my claim to fame is I started out in the real estate business as a real estate investor with $1,200. I was a guitar teacher living in my mom's living room. I made only $10,000 a year as a guitar teacher. And my claim to fame is, you know, I've built this multi-million dollar real estate portfolio. I've won investment awards. I've won entrepreneurship awards. I have a book. So I'm, I guess, a living testament of the American dream. And I think we were joking in the room before about, you know, how we're Canadians, but, you know, the American dream is the American dream of starting out with nothing and becoming a success story.
Well, and I think something that they wouldn't know on the radio is that, like, under 30 as well, right?
Yeah, so that's pretty, 27.
So that's pretty unusual. So what do you put off to that? What do you attribute this amazing, resounding success to?
Well, you know, I have students now, so I'm teaching people how to do what I did and what I do on a daily basis. And one of my students came to me and he said, you know, I had a huge breakthrough when he told me to respect the grind. And I'm starting up a little t-shirt company. I'm calling it Respect the Grind. And respecting the grind means showing up to work every day. You know, life is a grind. You have to do repetitive tasks every day. If you're a musician, you have to practice your instrument. If you're a salesman, you have to knock on doors. If you're an entrepreneur, you know, you got to show up to work every day. And some things are very simple. You know, success, if you show up every day like a professional, you know, that's interesting to professional and amateur. Amateurs don't show up every day. Professionals show up every day, even if you're feeling bad, you know. The only excuse, I guess, is if you're in a hospital bed on an IV drip and you actually can't get there. But, you know, you have to show up every day. You have to respect the grind. You have to understand it's going to take you 10 years to succeed. And, you know,
have to do it when you want to and when you don't. I think that's a...
Well, and there are times when you got to quit, right? There's times when you have to go, okay, you know, today is not a good day. And you have to cut your loss. But, you know, for the most part, you have to respect the grind. Show up every day. You have to put in the time. And it's going to take you 10,000 hours to master whatever you're trying to do. And it's probably going to take you 10 years. And, you know, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I'm 27 years old. And I look like an overnight success, but, you know, I started out selling t-shirts in high school. I was selling t-shirts in elementary school.
It's funny. You're going to go back to selling t-shirts.
Well, I'm going back to selling t-shirts.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, like, you know, I have 9 income streams. You're always adding income streams. You're adding more businesses. You're adding all these different things. But I've been an entrepreneur for a long time. You know, you could say maybe I've been doing it for 10 years. And the overnight success, or it looks like a fast success, a 4 or 5 year success, is actually, you know, it's usually 20 years to be successful. And that's the grind. You got to respect the grind. You got to show up. And there are times you're going to get beaten up, and there's times when you're going to fail, and there's times when it's not going to be fun, and it's going to be raining on your parade and all these things, but you got to respect it. And the people who aren't successful are the ones who don't respect the grind, and they're the ones who think that there's a magic bullet or some pixie dust, or, you know, they're going to have
everyone
that one
else
secret.
Is lucky.
Everyone else is lucky. I stopped believing in luck years ago. You know, I just started doing math. Math is better than luck, where you say, well, you know, for example,
that's a good t-shirt. Math is better than
math is better than luck. Well, you look at it, you know, I know we did a webinar the other day, and I know that 6% is our closing ratio on a webinar. So, you know, if I want to sell X number of whatever I'm selling, I need to fill it up with X number of people. There's no luck. There's no luck. It's all math. You know, how many doors do you have to knock? How many businesses do you have to start? 9 out of 10 businesses fail, so you have to start 10 businesses. Right? When you get to your 10th, your 11th, your 12th, your 13th businesses, those ones are going to be successful, and your first 9 are going to die. It's just
that's
math.
Enough to turn most people off entrepreneurship right there.
Well,
but the reality is, I'm anxious to see what the logo is for Respect the Grind. I'll buy one of those shirts.
There you go. We got one sale already.
Excellent. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about music and real estate. Real estate. Thank you. Okay, well, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll try and get my words in order. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Studies show that maintaining positive emotions whilst facing adversity promote flexibility in thinking and problem solving. According to the American Psychological Association, here are 10 ways to build resilience. Maintain good relationships with close family members, friends, and others. Avoid seeing crises or stressful events as unbearable problems. Accept circumstances that cannot be changed. Develop realistic goals and move towards them. Take decisive actions in adverse situations. Look for opportunities of self-discovery after a struggle with loss. Work on developing your self-confidence. Keep a long-term perspective and consider a stressful event in a broader context. Maintain a hopeful outlook, expecting good things and visualizing what is wished. Take care of one's mind, body, exercising regularly, paying attention to your own needs and feelings. At the end of the day, nobody can build up your resilience more than you can. Take a positive, proactive approach. Work harder on yourself than on anything else, and be prepared when something comes your way that you weren't expecting. It's not a matter of if it happens, it's a matter of when. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Shout out to First Impressions Hair and Skin Team, 1631 St. Mary's Road. Go see Gwen and her girls. Keep you looking and feeling great. I am in the studio talking with Stefan Arnio. He was one of the speakers at our recent Mo Monday event. And if you haven't been to a Mo Mondays yet, you are missing a good time. So our next one in Winnipeg here is May the 5th. It is going to be at Big Daddy Taz's Social Emporium on King Edward and Ellis. And it's only $10. I'm telling you, there isn't a better $10 you can spend on a Monday night. We leave you, I don't know, kind of wanting to make the world a better place and yourself a better person. We have musical entertainment and five or six speakers each doing 10 minutes-ish, rather TED-like talks, kind of real stories, real people, real inspiration. It's a lot of fun. So check out my website. It's yourlifeunlimited.ca. There's an events tab there and you can find out about upcoming events. And like I said, the next Monday is May the 5th. They're all sold out, every single one. So get your tickets now to avoid disappointment. Okay, so this dude in the studio with me, Stefan Arnio, 27, self-made man here. He is Canadian Real Estate Magazine's joint venture partner of the year. He's on the self-made list and lots of other accolades. He's got just a different way of thinking from your typical 27-year-old. Lots of things are working for you, Stefan. If you wanted to give some advice to folks sitting out there just waiting for the world to happen and success to fall on their lap, I bet you've got a few things to offer.
Well, I think that one of the most important things is you have to pick something you're really excited about and get really, really good at that. You know, too many people, if you look at the school system nowadays or you look at, a lot of advice, they say diversify, or they say take a bunch of general classes, or my parents wanted me to get a university degree, which is, I think, one of the most ridiculous things to tell young people nowadays to go to university. We're getting controversial now, but to take a bunch of general things that have nothing to do with each other, I think that's crazy. I think it's better to get really, really good at something and become the best in the world and make sure you're passionate about it. And, when you're passionate about it, you'll actually stick it out and become successful because you actually love what you do every day. When you show up to work or show up to your grind, we're talking about respecting the grind, it doesn't hurt as much as trying to do something you don't love.
Right. So your first love was music, and you thought you were going to be a rock star in music, and that kind of led you to this path.
Absolutely. I had the vain delusional dream of becoming a rock star when I was 17 years old. 16, 17, I was a big music fanatic. I was in, 8, 9 bands at a time, and we're playing shows and promoting shows. And, music is probably one of the hardest businesses in the world. It's right down there with drugs and prostitution. It's a very hard business. And I started a music business. I had a couple bands. And, it got to the point where, again, I burned out in that business. I literally burned out. I lay on the couch for 3 or 4 months just not doing anything because that business is so, so hard. But I did a talk at your Mo Mondays about how you don't need a band to be a rock star these days. What you really need is a brand. And the feelings I used to get from music, I now get from, my other businesses and real estate. And I almost have a rock star position in my niche. And, you don't necessarily love art, or you don't necessarily love, dancing or sports or some of these hobbies that we think are amazing. What we love is the feelings we get from those activities. And if we can get those feelings somewhere else from something we're really, really good at, you know, that's a nice formula for success right there.
I really love that analogy, that not necessarily that thing that we love, it's the feelings that we get. And so what else, if you can't make a rock star living as a rock star or fill in your blank for whatever, what else gives you that feeling of euphoria and passion to make you stick through it, and that resiliency, right, when things get hard?
Exactly. You know, it's funny when I think about it in hindsight, you know, I wanted to be a rock star. Well, I'm a terrible singer. I'm a really bad singer, you know. My voice is not good.
It's good on the radio.
Well, I have a nice speaking voice, but, you know, my singing voice, I sound like Johnny Cash. And Johnny Cash, you know, he's awesome, and he became huge just from grinding. Like, he's a bad singer, and he's not a very good songwriter. He actually doesn't write very good songs at all. But he's a rock star just by virtue of just grinding for, like, you know, his whole life. He was on the road his whole life, and, you know, his career failed many times, and he had to revive his career. And, you know, he went into obscurity at one point, and Rick Rubin, the legendary producer, pulled him out of the trash bin and redid him. But, you know, I based my whole success around one of my weakest things, which is singing. Like, I'm a bad singer. And now, you know, I've kind of restructured my success where I rely more on my creativity and things that I'm very, very good at. I'm very good at selling. I'm very good at performing. I was a great performer, but a bad singer. So, you know, I've switched it around. In real estate, I do a lot of performing. I speak on stage. I write books. I'm doing videos and webinars and all these different things. And I'm very effective, but I'm not singing. You know, my singing sucks. If I were to do it again, I would get the best singer in my band and I would stay away from the singing because I'm just not very good.
Right. Well, I think that two important points there that you made. One is figuring out what you do really, really, really well and do more of that. And one is acknowledging what your strengths are not, and finding other people to fill that position.
Exactly. And something I do now is, you know, I have two full-time people in my office, and they handle everything I'm bad at. And what I'm good at is I'm very good at selling and negotiating, and I'm finding projects, finding deals, I'm raising money. I'm doing all the things that I'm amazing at and probably the best in Canada at. And then everything else, like, I can't fill out paperwork for the life of me. You know, I'm not that good with computers. I'm not that good with a lot of things. I'm actually terrible at a lot of things. And the other people in my office who work for me handle all that stuff, because you can't build success based on your weaknesses. You should just forget about your weaknesses. And this is something they do in school. They always want you to improve your weaknesses. If you have an F in math, why would you try to make it an A? Just quit math. Just quit it, you know, stick with the F and go get really good at whatever you're good at, English, dancing, whatever. Go into that and become a master, world-class master at your strengths, and forget about your weaknesses. I can't organize it for the life of me. I'm terribly disorganized, but I have people who organize things for me. You know, you have to go with your strengths, your high leverage activities, and stay away from the low leverage stuff, because you're never going to be good at it and no one's ever going to appreciate you, even if you're okay at it.
No, we can't be good at everything. It's not the way we're meant to be. But what you are good at is money, people, deal. Let's talk about your book, The Fastest Way to Real Estate Wealth.
Absolutely. Well, I wrote this book, Stephanie, because I used to work for a company in Canada. It was the 40th fastest growing company in Canada, and we raised money. We raised money for real estate projects, real estate deals, energy funds, all sorts of things. And I had the abstract job of explaining to the average person how business worked. And the average person, you know, we go to school, we don't learn about money, we don't learn about business, we don't learn even how to write a check at school. We don't learn anything important. And when we come in, when people come to the office, I'd have an average hardworking guy in front of me, and I'd have to explain to him, you know, how private equity works, or how we put together real estate deals. And what I did was I drew this triangle on the board, and I said, look, there's three parts to business. There's money, there's people, and there's deals. And when you put those three things together, commerce happens, business happens. And I'd explain, using the money, people, deal concept, how business works. And then what would happen is people would understand what we were doing in the real estate project, and we would raise money. So, you know, I raised about $1.1 million for that company at $10,000 at a time, which is a lot of sales. And I was one of the top guys in Canada at that job. And then when I transitioned into my own real estate business, I still used the money, people, deal concept to explain to people who I was joint venturing with or partnering with on real estate deals to explain how the money moves and how we're going to partner up and how we're both going to make money off this transaction. And, you know, people, they want simple concepts. If you can't explain it on a napkin.
Yes, we do.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we're not going to talk about debt and equity and we're not going to talk about mortgages and all these things. People just want, if you can explain it on a napkin, people can understand it. If you pull out a big binder and you have spreadsheets and statistics, you know, exactly, no one's ever going to read it. Even sophisticated multimillionaire businessmen don't want to read your spreadsheet and your binder. Mm-hmm. They want to see it on a napkin. And when people see it on a napkin drawn out, then you got the binder to back it up. But, you know, they want to see it on a napkin using triangles and little shapes and pennies. They want to understand how it works.
Smiley faces.
And smiley faces, exactly.
And that's what I like about your books. It's simple to read, good concepts, lots of good takeaways. When we come back, we're going to talk about how we can bring the money, people, deal philosophy into our regular lives. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Big thank you to Calabria Market, Southern Italian cuisine at its best. I'm telling you, it's not your normal pizza. It's almost like being back in Italy. Oh, I long for that. We've been talking with Stefan Arnio. He is the author of Money People Deal, The Fastest Way to Real Estate Wealth. Check out his website, moneypeopledeal.com. Lots of great information on there. And, you know, we were talking about the difference between the self-made millionaire and the average Joe or Josephine. And your one answer to that question is?
It's all psychology. You know, it's all psychology. And if somebody wanted to pick up my book, Money People Deal, and read it, it's a big book about mindset. And the mindset of self-made success, you know, it's the small things. It's the small things. We're talking about resiliency. We're talking about, I call it grit. And grit is a psychological trait that the U.S. military uses when they're measuring officers. They look at the grit factor on someone. And that's, you know, what's their likelihood that they're going to give up? And, you know, something that I do is I read 52 books a year because I'm always working on my psychology and I'm always reframing things. And, you know, people typically like to reward themselves when they succeed. You know, something I do is I'll reward myself when I fail. You know, sometimes when things don't go my way, I just laugh now. I used to get upset or I get angry. And now I just laugh. You know, my girlfriend told me about one of her problems yesterday. I just laughed because I just laugh when problems happen because I see the humor and the opportunity, you know, whereas the other people see setbacks and they see problems that maybe they can't solve.
So what would be a reward for failure, for example?
Well, I mean, there's a great book called Go for No. And, you know, if you're selling, if you're knocking doors, you have to reward yourself for no's. So you say, rather than I'm going to get one sale today, you say I'm going to get 99 rejections. You know, and you start counting up the rejections. You know, that's one way to reward yourself for failure. Another thing that I have with failure is I say fail fast and fail cheap. You know, I'll start a business and I want to start it as cheap and fast as possible. And if it doesn't work, you know, we didn't lose very much money. We didn't lose very much time. You want to fail as fast and cheaply as possible so that you don't get stuck.
Cool. And you talk a lot about philosophy and attitude and activity.
Yeah, well,
that's
a famous Jim Rohn line. And Jim Rohn's kind of the granddaddy of self-development. Mm-hmm. And Jim says your life is three things. It's the sum of your philosophy, your attitude, and your activity. And I used to be very, very unsuccessful. And I had a poor philosophy. I had a poor attitude. And I also had a poor daily activity. And when you improve those three things, you improve not only your life, but your income improves. And typically, your income goes with your self-development. So if you want to make more money, develop yourself first. You know, invest in the courses, invest in the seminars and whatever it takes. And then your value goes up. And once your value goes up, your income goes up to chase your value.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm always preaching about coaching and, you know, hiring somebody to help you move to the next level. We can't do it alone. You're reading your 52 books a week. If you did nothing else but read another book, you know, hire somebody to help you out for even a short span of time, even 3 months, just try it out because you never know what that next level is for you. What's your philosophy now?
Well, you know, let's just talk about coaching, for example. You need a coach. You absolutely need a coach. And, you know, I get stuck all the time. We all get stuck, right? Mm-hmm. We get to places in life where we just don't know what to do next. And the answer is, when you're stuck, you hire a coach. Now, I have coaches for all sorts of things in my life. I have a life coach. I have a real estate coach. I have a business coach. I have a relationship coach. And, you know, I'm not working with them all the time. But, you know, when I have problems, I call my coach. And the coach usually says, well, you know, you're doing this wrong, because they can see things you can't. You know, we can't see our own eyeballs.
We're too blocked. We're too close to the problem. We can't see it.
Absolutely.
Can't see the forest for the trees. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight on success. Congratulations on what you've done so far. And I look forward to one book a year coming out from you for the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. Lots more information to come. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Well, we've been talking with Stefan Arnio. He's the author of Money People Deal. Check out moneypeopledeal.com. Stefan, if there was just one last thing you were dying for people to know, what would you want that to be?
You gotta respect the grind. You know, life isn't easy, and anything worthwhile takes a lot of time, effort, resources, money to accomplish. And you have to respect the grind. You have to show up every day. And you know what? If you keep putting the resources and the time and effort in, you will succeed eventually.
I like the way you think. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today. If you like what you hear, check out yourlifeunlimited.ca. We got lots of articles, videos, ideas for better living. I hope you'll visit us at our next Mo Mondays, which is on May the 5th, if you want to bring some insight, ideas, and inspiration into your group or corporation or team. Give me a shout. Loving to come and share the message of Your Life Unlimited. And that's it. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks, Aaron, for making us all sound good. And as usual, I'm Stephanie Staples, encouraging you to live your life unlimited.